Yeah, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. I titled this subject, or the subject today for this passage, The High Priest of the Better Covenant. There's so much that can be taken out of this passage. And also, it seems like Hebrews is a book of repetition to an extent where it says the same thing over and over and over again in different ways. But the truth behind all these truths is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than everything else. And today, Jesus is that high priest of the better covenant. So there's two covenants. We had a discussion here some weeks ago about covenants, and it sounded like there was maybe more than two. And you can argue that, or you can go into that with the covenant of Abraham and so on, where God made a promise to Abraham. I don't think we can call that a covenant necessarily, because he made a promise. He didn't say, I would do this if you would do this and this and this. He simply made a promise to Abraham. You and your seed will be blessed. That was a promise. A covenant is when you come into agreement with someone about something. Like the old covenant was, where God told the Israelites to keep all those laws and they would be blessed. Or if they would not keep them, then they would not be blessed. They would have a curse. The laws, they gave punishment for if you would not obey them. So we had the old covenant, and Hebrews talks about that old covenant, and then it speaks about the new covenant, where Jesus is the initiator, and he is also the high priest of this new covenant, which today I will call the better covenant. There's a list of reasons why it is a better covenant, but let's first read from verse 11 through verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 7. It says, If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, we just ask again for you to help us. Pray you would help me to bring this out in a way that is true and clear, encouraging, exhorting, rebuking, whatever is needed here today, Lord, that you would give it. And I pray for listening ears and listening hearts, Lord, that all of us would listen to you and hear what you have to say. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We must remember that the book of Hebrews is written to a large extent to convince Jews that the new covenant is not only for the Gentiles and not only optional, but that it is better in all aspects. The new covenant, some of them were trying to now mix it up with the old covenant. Bring in the laws. Okay, you got to keep these laws in order to be saved. You got to keep these things in order to be saved. So they were trying to mix it up. And the book of Hebrews comes with no uncertainty and lays it out why Jesus is better, why he is in one sense the replacement, but he's not. He's the fulfillment. Everything that came in the old covenant pointed to Christ. It wasn't for nothing. It wasn't, Oh, we will have all these sacrifices because God loves seeing people do sacrifices. It was, we will have these sacrifices because these sacrifices will point to the one sacrifice that Jesus will come and do. And then Hebrews is saying and showing us how those sacrifices could not remove sin. They could not bring forgiveness to anyone. But Jesus' sacrifice could. It did remove sins. It did truly forgive. And more than that, it brought new life through the sacrifice, the atonement, and the raising from the dead. Christ also brought new life. The new covenant has better promises than the old covenant. The old covenant was do this and live, do this and die. Do this and you'll be punished in these ways. That was what the law was about. The law didn't have rewards per se, saying that if you will do this and this, you'll get $1,000. That's not what the purpose of the law was. The law came, it says in Galatians, so that sin would be seen to be sin. Sin was already in the world. From Adam to Moses, there was no law, but sin was already in the world because everything that goes against God is sin. But the law came so that there would be a sting, we could say, to the sin that was already existing in the world. So the old covenant and the law did not have good promises of eternal life. The law did not give life. The law only brought punishment, said you're not supposed to do all these things and you're supposed to live your life in this way. That's what it said, and you'll be blessed. Like, that's pretty much it. The new covenant is, the promise is you will have eternal life. You will be eternally with God. You will be secure. You will be with Him and you'll be secure forever. The new covenant has better representation. The old covenant, Moses came as a servant, and it talks about that here in Hebrews. Moses as a servant, but Jesus as the Son. Moses was representing the old covenant at Sinai. He was bringing it to the people, and Jesus is bringing the new covenant. We have a better high priest. Last week, we talked about Melchizedek and the Levitical priesthood and how Melchizedek was greater than the Levitical priesthood. He existed before Abraham and then or during the same time, but he existed before Levi and the Levitical priesthood, and how Melchizedek was greater, and that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. A better priesthood. Aaron and his children and others that were from Levi, that were in the lineage of Levi, were the priests for the old covenant, but they were not sinless. They had to offer up sacrifices for their own sins. But Jesus, He did not need to bring a sacrifice for His own sins. His sacrifice was for the sins of many, the sins of His people. He was after the order of Melchizedek, never to die again. Aaron, the priest, and all the priests that came, they would die. And then the next one was priest, and then the next one, and then the next one. But Jesus will never die. A better person. Goes without saying, but I just mentioned they had to offer sacrifice first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. Jesus had no sin. There's a promise of rest. That the old covenant, their promise was this land, which was Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. But what was the promise in Christ? It was to have rest and to have Him. That He would be with us. He would give us peace. He would give us joy. He would give us everything. He would give us eternal life. And He would give us rest. Jesus said, "Come to Me and I will give you rest." He is the perfect Savior. Christ is. The prophets, priests and kings all had a purpose in the old covenant, but Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king who is greater in all aspects than any one of them, or even than all of them combined. And He is the Savior. None of them None of the prophets or priests or kings that came before Jesus ever saved anyone. They could bring the word of God, but they could not save anyone. So when we look here in verse 11, Hebrews 7 verse 11, it says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was a central point of the Old Covenant. It was central in that the teachings came from the Levites. They would teach the people. There was many duties and jobs that the high priest would have to do, all central to people's relationship with God. If people would want to make a sacrifice for their sins, they would have to go to the priest, and the priest would help them, and so on. Every priest had to be from the tribe of Levi, from that lineage. They had to sacrifice for their own sin. They came and they taught the people. They taught what is right and wrong. They taught what is holy and profane, as it says in Ezekiel 44:23. They came to teach the law. The job of the priests was to preach the law. I'm giving a little background of what their job was, because look at what verse 11 says. It says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there for another priest? Now think about all the duties and jobs that the priests had: to teach the law, to be judges. When someone came with a issue and the priests would judge between right and wrong, and they would offer sacrifices, they would bless the people. All those things sound good, right? Doesn't that sound even perfect? Didn't they have like the perfect job between God and man? They were keeping the temple the way God told them to light the lamps, to keep a fire burning. There was many tasks in the temple that they would take care of. They were scribes. They were the ones who copied the word of God from one generation to the next. They would keep copying the word of God so that they always would have the word of God with them. They were the ones who had trumpets to call the people to come together when they were going to teach them the law, or even in battle. They were blowing the trumpets in battle, as that was what God had called them to do. We find that in Numbers chapter 10. The priests had many good jobs, and yet Hebrews 7:11 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. It's telling us, if we got perfection from the Levitical priesthood, then we don't need anything else. What further need do we have? What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of law. So first it says, if it were perfect, we could have just stayed with that. But I already mentioned some of the things of why it was not perfect, why the new covenant is better, how the priest died, but our priest doesn't die, and so on. And so it puts that out there for a second. Well, if it was perfect and it was okay, we wouldn't need another priesthood. And now, for the priesthood being changed, alright, so it has been changed. It is different. There is made of necessity a change also of the law. The priesthood, their grounding is the law. Their grounding is the word of God. That's why they're there. That's how they know what they're doing. That's why they know what the purpose is of what they're doing. And so if the priesthood changes, and that's what the book of Hebrews is about, we had this, now we have this. We had the lineage of priests dying and another priest taking over, now we have one high priest who will never change again. So the priesthood being changed, there is also a change of law. How does that work? Well, the old covenant was the law. The law was the old covenant. The new covenant is the new law, which the New Testament also calls the law of Christ. We find the essence of the whole law in that it says, what is the greatest commandment? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the second like unto it. On this hang all the law and the prophets. So if there were perfection, we wouldn't need nothing else. But then we would have to ask, so is God not perfect that he would bring us something that is not perfect? Or could God not make something perfect? Did he just try something and he figured out, oh, this is not working right, let me figure out something else? No, we know the Bible says that God accomplishes, he does all things according to the counsel of his own will. So we have to come to the conclusion that this was all for a purpose, even though it wasn't now what is perfect, but God let that come to point to that which is perfect, which is Jesus. The perfect did come, and that was Christ. He was that perfect one. And then it says, for verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. We know that Christ came from the lineage of Judah. It says, there's many verses about it, but Revelation 5:5 talks about it and says, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. It is talking about Jesus, who is from the tribe of Judah. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, or in other words, that he came from the lineage of Judah. That is evident. And so it was impossible for Jesus to be a priest or a high priest after the Levitical priesthood, after the Levitical law to be a priest. Because you had to, and we looked at that a little bit last week, but you had to be from the tribe of Levi. There was one case where we read in last week where they were not sure if these people were from the Levitical lineage, and they went and they searched and they found nothing, and so they said that they were as unclean. They had to get out. They could not be priests because they were not 100% certain that they were from the Levitical priesthood. And so Hebrews here is showing us, because of the evidence and us knowing that our Lord came out of Judah, there is no conflict or no uncertainty that, oh, maybe he was one of the Levitical priests. Maybe he just was a little better from the Levitical lineage. We know that is not the case because he was from Judah. It says that Moses said nothing about a priesthood from Judah, because Moses' job and purpose was at that time the Levitical priesthood. Moses was from the tribe of Levi, even though he was the spokesperson. Aaron and his children were the priests and other Levites. But we know Moses also was a Levite because Moses and Aaron were brothers. But Moses said nothing about Judah being priests. And in fact, it had to be Levites. So we know that this is something entirely different. This is not a continuing. This is not something like it. This Hebrews tells us this is entirely different. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. When they were offering these sacrifices, it was not that one day this will be Judah's job. It was nothing of that. It was, this is the Levite's job. The priests and the high priest, the high priest was different in that they had a duty to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and not without doing it exactly right, not without following all the rules to a dot, or otherwise they would be killed. So they had to follow everything exactly, and once a year. So the priests and the high priest and their servants in the temple, their job was to be a mediator between God and man. They brought the law of God and they taught it to the people. They brought the requests of God and the requests of the people and the sins that they had done, and they wanted to offer sacrifices, and they brought it to God. They were the one that was in between God and man. Both ways. They were the priests. God had set them there to do that job. What does the Bible say today? Jesus is our high priest, and we don't need other priests in between. See, there are some religions today that want to tell you that you need priests in order to declare that you're forgiven and so on. But that is actually blasphemy. If you want to now go and say that you are the priest and I need to come to you through God, then you're directly contradicting what Jesus said. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's not saying no man comes to the Father but by the new priest that I'm going to send out. He did not say no one comes to the Father except through my disciples and their children. He didn't even say that no one comes to the Father except through Peter and the popes that are going to come after him. Because there is no such thing. Somebody made that up. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me, but by me. That is exactly what Hebrews is teaching when it says that Jesus is our high priest. He is the one through whom we can come to the Father. And not only like come in fear and hopefully he will accept us, but we can come with boldness. We can come with confidence and know that we are accepted. We are accepted in Christ. He has accepted us. He has accepted us if we believe, if we have our trust in him, if we are born again, because those things go together. It says that Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. But you know what Moses did speak about? He did speak about Jesus. He said in Deuteronomy 18, and I'm bringing this up because even though he did not say that there would be a priest from Judah, he did talk about Jesus. He said in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. This is why Jesus said to the Pharisees that if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Moses spoke about me, and you claim to believe him, and yet you reject me. That's what Jesus told to them. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Hebrews earlier talks about Moses, and it says that Moses was faithful. It says in Hebrews 3 verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So Jesus has more honor, as much more honor as the one who has built a house has more honor than the house itself. I used this example when we were in chapter 3, but if you have a house, you don't say, oh, that's such a beautiful house. I wonder how it came into existence. You will talk about, well, who created that house? Who designed it? Who built it? And you will praise the person who built it and say, wow, he did a good job. And Hebrews 3 is saying, using that example and saying in the same way, Jesus is the builder of the house and Moses is a servant in the house. And now when we look in chapter 7 and we look at Moses not talking about another priesthood, but him talking about someone who would come, a prophet like him, because Jesus was also a prophet, we see Jesus. And here we see how Jesus was the greater high priest of a better covenant. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And I think this is the biggest difference between these two priesthoods. One priesthood is after the law of a carnal commandment. In other words, we have the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, all these things, and you shall do this. 600 and some laws that they had. These are the things you should do. And the priesthood was for what? It was for these laws. It says here, after the law of a carnal commandment, after a fleshly thing, you got to keep and do all these things. But what is the new covenant and the new priesthood? It is after the power of an endless life. It is about eternal life. Jesus is the one who brings eternal life. The law did not bring eternal life. The law brought death. Jesus brought life. And he is the priest, the high priest, the mediator for that new covenant between God and man. The mediator for eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Where will you find it? Only at the mediator. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God. God who has not only provided the way, he has shown it, he has revealed it in Scripture, and he has brought it. He has made it real to us, to those who have believed. He has made it real. So this new priesthood is after the power of an endless life. Or in other words, it is not after the law, it is not a mediator of the law, but it is a mediator of the new law, which is the law of Christ, which is eternal life to all them that believe. That is the promise of the new covenant, eternal life to all them that believe. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We don't need to now think and wonder that, oh, this priesthood has stopped and now God will show up with something else. No, Jesus is the final and eternal high priest of the perfect priesthood, that which brings and gives eternal life. That is what Jesus has brought. So if we think about, again, I just want to briefly go over this again from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant and how this passage starts. It starts with, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. Can we see how the law could not make anything perfect? Can we see how the law could not give life? Because all it did was say, if you do this, then you will be punished. And the opposite of it, or the new version, the changed version, the changed priesthood, the new covenant, the new law in Christ, is not about keeping some laws, but it is about faith. And so, the new covenant has better promises than the old covenant, promises of eternal life, better representation, Jesus Christ, a perfect man, versus Moses, who was a sinner, a better high priest, Jesus Christ, who will never cease to exist, versus the Old Testament priest who would die, and there would always be new priests that would come in. A better person, already mentioned that, but Jesus Christ without sin. Better rest, Jesus can give real peace. He can give real rest. And the Old Testament, it was the promise of rest was a good land. It was, of course, even then they had faith and there was a type of rest in God, but we truly see it in Christ when He came. And we have a perfect Savior, who is the prophet, priest, and king. He is the high priest, and He is the prophet and the king. He is the perfect Savior. Whatever came before, whatever is from the old covenant, nothing was perfect. God has always been perfect, but He showed us something, and He showed us the sinfulness of man, and He showed us the problem of doing things in an earthly way, with an earthly law, and that there would never be victory, there would never be success, there would never be eternal life without something from above. That's why salvation has always been by faith, because nobody could work for it and earn salvation. Everything that is good has to come from above. The earth does not bring anything good to God. Humanity does not bring anything good to God. Whatever is good comes from God. It comes down. Down from above. And then when we're believers, we will have good. Not because of us, but in spite of us. We will have good because we have Christ in us. And that goodness of Christ will come out of our life. So I think I will end with that. But I wanted to impress on our minds today, and I hope God does that, impress the truth that we have the perfect high priest, and that He is the high priest of the better covenant. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. I just pray that You would work in us. Pray that You would forgive us, cleanse us. Pray You would help us as we go from here to bring Your light into all the world, preach the gospel in all the world. And Lord, just by Your power and by Your grace, You would save those who are Your lost sheep. You would use us in Your kingdom, and You would help us to be faithful in Your kingdom. Pray, Lord, if there's anything in our life that we're not aware of, we're doing wrong, or we need to change, that You would be merciful and show us the truth. If there's anything where we believe wrong, You would prune and You would cleanse and You would make us to become more like Christ. We thank You that we can have this fellowship and this union and come together to look into your word and just gather around this unity that we have in Christ. Not only one truth, but many truths that all come from you, that all circle around one truth about Christ. We thank you, and we just pray you be with us as we go from here, and be with us this week, and help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do. And we thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.